New Testament Christianity is on the air. This gospel broadcast is designed to exalt Jesus Christ in original biblical Christianity. It is our desire to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And now, your evangelist Ray Bennett of Delmarva Evangelism, Mr. Bennett.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the virgin-born Son of the living God, constitutes the only hope of the world. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so when it comes to salvation, it's not the faith of your choice, the church of your choice, the religion of your choice. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one Spirit, one God, one Father, one church. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It's wonderful that this ministry is spreading to different places around the world. We send greetings again to the people that are listening in Western Europe, and we send special greetings to all of our faithful listeners scattered around the eastern part of the United States. It's exciting to be a part of carrying out the great commission of our Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." I want to deal with a passage from the second chapter of the book of Acts in our broadcast at this time and call it the world's greatest revival. While you're turning to Acts chapter 2, I want to give a brief statement and review about the series that we just completed. We just finished a series of messages entitled, "Are You Sure?" The Apostle Peter said, "Give diligence to make your calling and election sure." And so you have something to do with your election. God has voted for you. The Lord Jesus has voted for you. The devil has surely voted for you. Now you have to make a commitment of your own and make your own calling and election sure. So you have something to do with your own salvation. You have to submit to the Lord and be willing to obey Him. When we deal with the subject of, are you sure, the question is asked, are you sure that you have Bible faith? Bible faith means to believe. Bible faith means to trust. Bible faith means to overcome temptation. And Bible faith means to obey. Are you sure you have Bible faith? The Apostle Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, secondly, are you sure that you have Bible repentance? The Lord Jesus Christ said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Are you sure you've repented the Bible way? Again, Jesus repeated the same thing in Luke 13:5 that he previously stated two verses earlier in Luke 13:3. He repeated it by saying, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance means to recognize your sin, be sorry for your sin, and turn from your sin. Are you sure you've repented? Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, thirdly, are you sure that you've confessed your faith in Jesus Christ? The Bible says, and Jesus was speaking, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. The Bible says in Mark 8:38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him also will the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Apostle Peter made that great confession. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter made the confession. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. As I come to you today, fellow citizens of the human race, wherever you may be listening, are you sure that you have Bible faith, that you've repented, and that you've confessed your faith in Christ? Then, are you sure you've submitted to Bible baptism? Bible baptism is the immersion of a repentant, believing individual that has confessed faith in Christ, immersed in the waters of Christian baptism for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the Apostle Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. in the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. Saul of Tarsus, who had been blind and speechless for 3 days, was told to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. And so baptism is the burial and immersion in water of a repentant believer by the authority of Jesus in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Are you sure you have participated in Bible baptism? Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Then finally, in that mini-series on Are You Sure? Are you sure you're living a Christian life? Are you faithful each Lord's Day in coming around the Lord's table to remember the communion, to remember the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, this do as often as you do it in remembrance of me. He said, this is my body and this is my blood. And we learn from Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 that the disciples came together on the first day of the week. And as we check down through history, the Bible teaches that it was on the first day of the week, not the seventh day of the week, not Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, but on the first day of the week, not when you wanted to or when you thought it would be a beautiful service with candle lights or whatever. It's the first day of the week. The Lord's Supper is connected to the first day of the week, the day on which Jesus arose from the grave. And then are you sure you're reading the Bible, praying, living a holy life? Are you sure you're living the Christian life? The Apostle Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now the question, as we go to the second chapter of the book of Acts, what is or what was, where do we go to get introduced to the world's greatest revival? It's wonderful to be a part of an old-fashioned revival meeting. Mrs. Bennett and myself are on the road full-time in meetings, have been for years, between 40 and 50 engagements every year for the last several years, preaching no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. Preaching in the various congregations of Christians, heaven high, hell deep, worldwide, and shotgun barrel straight. Trying to get people to take Christ and Christ alone. Trying to preach Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2, that's exactly what Paul did. Paul said, I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so as we go to the subject of revival, it is a tremendous subject. Just think of the great good revival has done down through the years. Lives have been changed and homes rearranged. People have sweetened up. Estranged people have made up. It's wonderful to witness the effects of old-fashioned revival. And in the second chapter of the book of Acts, I believe we have recorded what we can accurately and safely call the world's greatest revival. I'd like to read from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered together with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, and Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it'll come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. As we look at this powerful, powerful passage of Scripture, this is describing, I believe, hands down, without argument or discussion, what constitutes the world's greatest revival. It was that great Pentecost revival after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After the Lord arose from the grave and went to heaven, He promised that the Holy Spirit was going to be sent and that the apostles would receive power. And they would be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And now Pentecost has come. Jews were there from all over the world, across continental barriers. But this was D-Day. This was VJ Day. This was Victory Day. The day that Joel's prophecy would be fulfilled. The Holy Spirit came. The apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They arose and spoke the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This was the day of the world's greatest revival, the day of the beginning of the world's greatest revival. The world's greatest revival witnessed the world's greatest preparation program. In the book of Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible says as follows, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Almighty God was planning for this great Pentecost revival from the foundation of the world. Before the world ever began, God planned His kingdom. God planned His church. Someone says, is the church important? Someone else says the church is not important. From the standpoint of the biblical interpretation of the church, it's the only thing that is important, because when Jesus comes, He's coming after His church. He's coming after the church that wears His name. He's coming after the church that follows His doctrine. He's coming after the church that has obeyed His gospel. He's coming after the church that obeys and observes His ordinances. And so we must go back beyond tradition and legalism and man-made religion and notions and ideas and conferences and creeds and synods and catechisms and go back to the Bible, study for ourselves and learn the truth. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, dividing aright the word of truth." And so the world's greatest revival had the world's greatest preparation program, planned by God even before there were mountains, planned by God before the seas ebbed and flowed, planned by God before the beautiful fowls graced the air, planned by God before man, before space. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but prior to the creation of the heavens and the earth, God planned His kingdom, God planned Pentecost, God planned hope for mankind through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so the world's greatest revival had the world's greatest preparation program. We'll continue with this next week. Tell a friend that a straight-shooting, non-denominational, non-compromising Bible broadcast is on the air every week, and we want to preach no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. In the last seconds, it's invitation time. To be saved, you must hear the gospel and believe it and repent of your sins and confess your faith in Christ. Be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins and arise and walk in a newness of life. The churches of Christ salute you. Be tuned in next week. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank You for the privilege of preaching the gospel, being on the air in so many places. Take the glory and help people to respond to the message and help them to search the Scriptures for the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more heaven high, hell deep, and worldwide shotgun barrel straight preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware, 19966, or call 302-542-3744.